country man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Make our Welcome, own folks. And our own smoke too. Thanks too for joining us. Us being Paul Fromm and myself, James Kelso, live. He from Canada and I from the sunny environs of North Dakota. and welcoming you to participate in the show. Hi, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
And folks, how can you get in on the excitement? 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Hey, and if you've never been on live radio worldwide, nationwide, hey, tonight might be the night. The night before Pearl Harbor Day tomorrow, December 7th. Here we are on December 6th, 2017. And let's see. How many years has that been? Let's see here. 1941 and 2017. Somebody 80, out there in the
76.
Yeah. All right. Yes. 56 years?
No, 76.
Yes, okay, that's right. Yeah, I had 20 more years. Yeah, 76 years. A lot of good news to report today. The last 24 hours of the Trump phenomenon have been very good ones. So we'll share some of that with you. You may have noticed something that Paul or I have missed. Please don't hesitate to dial in 800-313-9443 and add such an item. That's, I think, the most appreciated thing by our audience, because I think people come here to this show. We started it, a show designed, dedicated to flying wingman for Donald Trump, helping him as much as we can, wherever we can, putting out the good word about Donald Trump. Anybody, any doubters out there or people who are wondering, clarifying things for them. We've done a great job of that. We started early on, and that I think that continues to be the main interest in this show. So if you've got something, if you notice something terrific that Paul or I have missed, toss it in. Some great thing, something that happened, a Supreme Court ruling, an executive order, a memorandum. Donald Trump has done wonderful things with many memoranda that have changed. I mean, he's using the authority of the presidency in a remarkable way. Good news about the upcoming elections, you know, the Roy Moore election. Of course, now we're only how many days away? The 12th. It's like really, really only 5 days away until next Tuesday. So this is really going to be exciting. But the now, speaking of Roy Moore, if I may start with that encouraging thought. Steve Bannon was there in Fairhope, Alabama, in a barn where he gave a barn burner of a speech. And I'm going to play just a bit of it for you right now. And there's one thing I didn't catch it yesterday when I watched it. I've got four computers, all the screens going on around me, and I'm trying to gather material for you for the show. And so sometimes when I'm playing a speech or something, my attention is distracted while something great happens on another screen. Well, there was some kind of a heckler in the audience in that barn last night. And so I'll play that segment for you. You'll hear it. You'll hear the audience. They do what they do at the Trump rallies. They turn towards the heckler and raise their flags and their banners and, boo the guy or the gal. But anyway, Bannon comes up with a great rejoinder to the heckler. He says, will the CNN producer in the back there please sit down? And he's saying that the heckler is a CNN producer. It's something like that. You'll catch it when he says it. Let's listen. Here he is. Okay. All right. All right. Let's get this computer to function here. There we go. Get the right mouse for the right screen.
They weren't going to sit there and accept that Judge Moore had won that runoff, were they? What were they going to do? You know what they want to do? They want to destroy Judge Roy Moore, and you know why? They want to take your voice away. This is not about Judge Moore. It's not about Donald Trump. This is about you. This is about you, 100%. This is about you. They're taking your voice away.
Here comes the heckler. Boo.
Excuse me. Can the CNN producer please keep it down in the back?
That's a great retort.
Come on, guys. You know I'm just kidding. God bless you. Come on, CNN, you know I'm just kidding. Fake news. We got them all here. By the way, they're all here today. All of them. Right? Financial Times of London, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Now, why are they down here in Alabama? Why are they down at Fairhope on a rainy night? You know why? They understand that you're the power, the real power, behind the greatest nation on earth. I was in Scotland last week talking to the 50 big swells in Scotland, right? Really good folks, run Scotland, highest thing. And all they want to talk about is the deplorables. All they want to talk about is the silent majority. All they want to talk about is you. And you know why? They understand you're mobilized. They understand you're angry, and they understand you're going to do something about it. The day of just taking it silently is over. That's what the opposition party up here, the opposition party media, and that's what the establishment understands, Republican and Democratic. If they can destroy Roy Moore, they can destroy you. Bingo. They're trying to send a signal to every young man and woman in this country that if they're going to stand up for their people, if they're going to stand up, that they're going to be destroyed. And what they've tried to do is try to make lies about this whole movement about economic nationalism, said we're ethno-nationalists. You have to remember, I take out a number two pencil and write it down, opposition party. Economic nationalism does not care about your race, your color, your ethnicity, your religion, your gender, or your sexual preference. Here it cares about that you're a citizen of the greatest country on earth, the United States of America.
Now, let me pause it right there, folks. You just heard an earful, and it's very important. It's very key to the success of Steve Bannon, to the success of Donald Trump. Why? It's the why, one of the whys, that you have the greatest president in the history of America as president right now and not a failed candidate, which would mean as a failed candidate, no consequence whatsoever to your future. No, pretty much no help at all. If Donald Trump had wiped out among the 17 candidates early on, 2.5 years ago? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Here's what he just said. It's easy to misunderstand it. It's very essential to I think, get why it works. Steve Bannon just said, I'm an economic, and we, he said in the movement, this movement that he has launched, that we're economic nationalists. We're not ethno-nationalists, is what he just said. Now, you would say, well, if you're an ethno-nationalist like me, You might say, well, that's not a smart thing to say. Well, guess what, folks? It won the presidency. It was very smart. And then further on, he elaborates. And remember, everybody in this audience he's speaking to, the couple exceptions and so on, but it's you know, 90-whatever, 9% white. There was actually a very good black civil rights pioneer, actually, who spoke earlier, introducing Moore and Bannon. He was very good on the stage in this very rally. But it's 99% white, as are all of these rallies, and all of the Trump rallies. Later on, you just heard Bannon say, what? He says, not your race, not your religion, et cetera, not your gender. What counts is that you are a citizen of the greatest nation on earth. Now, think about that for a moment. Who are the citizens of America? Well, they're white. At least two-thirds of us are white. And now apply Steve Bannon's statement to Poland or Hungary or other nations. How about Poland, where the country is 99% white, or Hungary, which is 99% white? And when a poll, this economic nationalism of which Bannon speaks, what it means when you translate it, this winning message, is that we want our nations, for instance, he said, the message they're trying to send to young people is that if you stand up for your people, we will destroy you. Now, your people, who is that? Paul, you've often used the phrase in your work, for our people. Well, guess what? When they hear those words uttered by the great white leader, Paul Fromm, they know what it means. Okay? It doesn't mean Bantus. So the Steve Bannon just said the same thing. And when he talks about economic nationalism, it's something white people can support. But what he's saying is this is a defensive action to defend our countries. We want, for instance, immigration to benefit the citizens of America, the citizens of Poland, the citizens of Hungary, and not just whoever happens to be here. Notice that group is left out. He didn't say, you know, anybody living in the U.S. He said citizens. That leaves out about, I think, probably at least, Paul, 40 million people that are squatting in America right now. That does allow for actually getting those people to leave. So if you catch the subtlety of it, folks, Bannon says this phrase over and over and over again, economic nationalism. And there are people in our movement who make fun of that phrase as if that's very defective, you know, and there's something wrong with it. Well, folks, he won. Trump won, and they won with that. It works. It works for white people. It's not an appeal to Mexicans or to black Americans or an appeal to Asians in America. It's an appeal that works with white people. The 63 million people that voted for Donald Trump, overwhelmingly white. But when you pitch it the way Steve Bannon just pitched it, it works. Pitch it a different way, and that 63 million people all run out the door. So we'll think in greater length about that in a moment. But you just heard one of the key utterances of this idea by, I guess you could say, the intellectual godfather of what the Trump phenomenon is doing, Steve Bannon. And he's also the intellectual godfather of Breitbart, which is the best media outlet after RBN, he says under his breath. But Breitbart is the most important media outlet we have right now. And by any measure, and they're accomplishing the most. I actually knew the Sheen family. What did Charlie Sheen say? I actually knew his brother. he said, "Winning, winning." Donald Trump is winning. Steve Bannon is winning. And is that important? Yes. I guess it is. Is that more important than like pleasing yourself that you're ideologically perfectly pure? Or as radical as you want to make yourself sound, it's the future of our people. It's all at stake. It's everything. So by that measure, winning, you've got to hand the, you know, give the gold stars to Bannon and Trump and that team. Am I going to lecture them on how to win with my record? No. I'm listening to them. and learning how to win. Anyway, and I
just, I've got a good dirty joke.
Okay.
Senator Franken is going down to defeat. He's a the Feministas in his own party are circling like sharks on steroids. I think 30 Democrats have called on him to go down the tube to be gone. And I see something on Newsmax just now that he will resign tomorrow. But whether that's true or not, we'll have to wait and see. But it's interesting, the disarray of the Democratic Party. It's just amazing.
Yes, and Al Franken, now his neck of the woods is right across the Red River for me. I could skip a rock over into Minnesota just about from where I am. So Al, baby, keep it up. I hope he doesn't resign tomorrow, Paul. I hope he, as he's thrown overboard by the Democratic Party, as they throw him over the side, I hope he's clawing and scratching to hang on to the rail with his fingers, as his fellow Democrats have to stomp his fingers and get one hand to let go, and then stomp his other hand and get that hand to let go.
Well, I agree with you. The longer the more it's prolonged, the better.
Yes.
But I guess just yesterday, I can't believe this Negro had been in Washington for 53 years. That's John Conyers of Michigan, a very left wing Negro Democrat I think Nancy Pelosi called him an icon. Well, the icon had to fall. But, you know, one of the really, I find interesting things and hypocritical in all of this is all of this feigned outrage and upset at these people. Certainly in the case of Conyers, his behavior must have been notorious. I mean, he's been around a lot longer than most of the people in the Congress that have been alive.
I mean, Paul, he's like, you know, you and I remember the congressman that Michael Medved, my old classmate, debate team partner, quiz team partner, and classmate Michael Medved. He used to work for Ron Dellums in Berkeley, California, after he finished at Yale, and that is Medved did. Ron Dellums was a communist. He was, the same with John Conyers. These guys are, they're basically communists. So, you know, and here's what it's all too beautiful, folks, because people like Nancy Pelosi going, he's an icon. Then like 36 hours later, he's got to go. Because what happens is
It wasn't the new information that come out. I can understand. Hey, I don't have a problem with people changing their mind. I think it's a mark of a fool to never change one's mind, but change it for solid reasons. So one day he's an icon, and 24 hours later he's got to go. Why? You found out something you didn't know. No, I guess finally the pressure and the internal discontent is so strong that they have to change tack. It really shows much of the political class to be lower than the lowest catfish in the swamp. And you know that's why that slogan, I think, it just resonates so much. Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp.
It's not exactly, you're right, Paul. It's not that Nancy Pelosi found out something she hasn't known for decades about Conyers. It's that she found out that we found out something we didn't know about John Conyers. And that's what, we'll talk about Al Franken and all this right after this break. Stay tuned.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Thanks for tuning us in, and the of course it is all too beautiful. Let me just give you a moment of that. Here he is. Unfortunately, sadly, he's no longer with us. He burned in his own house in a fire in his own house. Fell asleep with a cigarette. Here is Steve Marriott just saying how we feel. Small faces.
My eyes in shades of green, under dreaming spots. To Ichiku Park, that's where I've been.
What did you do there?
I got high.
What did you feel there?
Well, I cried.
All the tears there.
Tell you why.
It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful.
Oh, sing it, Steve, and Small Faces. That's 1967. I had just graduated from high school and was enrolled at UCLA. And it finally, folks, has gotten all too beautiful. Al Franken, you know, Chuck Schumer, let's see, the headline is Chuck Schumer now has thrown him over the side. And and what's going on, you know, the left is so, you know, all the garbage that they've been preaching ever since 1967, Paul. they, you know, with each of these guys, like Weinstein and Franken and what was his name, Anthony Weiner, if they try to defend themselves, it's just more people, more accusations, more victims come forward until it just becomes an onslaught. You know, who knows? Every day, more of this. So, you know, it couldn't be timed. This disintegration of the left, Paul, could not have been better timed for the rise of the right. You know, the two phenomena going on at the very same, you know, moment. It's really, it is all too beautiful, Paul. And, oh, well, we've got a bunch of people who agree with us. Pat in Fort Worth, George in Texas, and Dave in, I think, Massachusetts. Let's start with Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, what's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've been under the weather, but something just came back to me that I've been thinking about. And do you remember when they got Nixon to resign?
Of course, yes.
And Spiro Agnew, he has a book. It's called Leave or Else, Go or Else, something like that. So, and then they got Gerald Ford. They tried to kill him. And Rockefeller was an unappointed president. Remember?
Yes. Now bring it forward to the present moment, Pat. How does this? Where does this take us now?
I don't know. I was forgetting who is in the line of a procession to become president.
Mike Pence.
I thought it was Speaker of the House.
Well, Mike Pence, and then it would be the Speaker. Yeah, so it would be Mike Pence and then Paul Ryan. And by the way, Pat, you bring another reason for us to celebrate it being all too beautiful. A lot of people, when we on this show were saying Donald Trump's going to do it, he's going to win. You know, lots of people said, no, impossible. Kelso, you're dreaming. But then some people said, well, he might win, but they'll kill him. You know, so what's the point? You know, a guy that has views as profoundly opposed to the swamp as Donald Trump can't possibly stay alive at the top. Well, he has. Here he is. We're almost on. Well, we're in 1 year of his having been elected.
Well, you can count on me. I'm going to bring up God, because if God's going to keep you alive, he'll keep you alive. But you know what? There's so much wickedness out here nowadays. I just think if the people do not pray for the president, like the Bible, well, pray for those in authority, and he has authority. If we don't pray for him, it's going to be our fault, and we're going to get everything we deserve.
Well, I think we are getting what we deserve in Donald Trump, and
if something did happen, if they forced him to resign or did something to him, it's going to be our fault. Because, I mean, I know that you can vote for people, but you got to stand behind them, okay?
Oh, yes. Pat, very good point. Yes, and here's where Roy Moore comes into the picture, and Sean Hannity. I want to mention Sean Hannity here. I've been watching Sean Hannity. This man is, his hair is on fire. He is, he's got a research staff going. He has the best reporting going. He is just obliterating Robert Mueller's attack dog team, and bringing the best stuff before the American people. And he's doing it big time. He's winning, as Charlie Sheen said. Pat, thank you very much for your thought, and I certainly concur with you. We'll come back with George in Texas right after this break.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. Good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all costs if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
So sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice, gonna raise my voice and say it's time for you to pack up and go. You know who you are, you're lying so and so.
We're back, folks. Welcome back to the show. We've got in the caller lineup here, we've got George in Texas, followed by Dave in Massachusetts, and Joe in Rhode Island. Let's quickly go through those gentlemen. George in Texas, welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing? I got to say one thing. I got some real mixed feelings about our relocating the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, because I'm hearing a lot of pros and cons either way, you know. As a Christian, yes, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and, you know, Israel and safety, you know, because our Lord told me to. But I have a feeling, you know, I really think Netanyahu probably had to make a concession or to get the embassy to be recognized, Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And that is either stop bombing Syria, unprovoked attacks on Syria, or stop the expansion of the settlements in the West Bank. You know, I think What's that?
Yes. Yeah, you raise a very good point, and you raise good thoughts on that point. I'll give you my peanut gallery thought. I think Donald Trump just once again delivered a brilliant move. And here's why I say that. The capital of Israel right now is Jerusalem. The Knesset is not in Tel Aviv. It's in Jerusalem. The president's offices, all of the administrative offices are in Jerusalem. They're not in Tel Aviv. It's already a fait accompli. It is the capital of Jerusalem, of Israel. So Donald Trump isn't giving away anything. There's nothing that's actually moving. All they have to do is the consulate, the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem, has to just trade its nameplate with the U.S. embassy that's in Tel Aviv. And that's all they have to do is unbolt that nameplate. But meanwhile, what has he accomplished? In one fell swoop, I'll tell you, the entire Jewish world, I don't know what the Jewish population of the earth is right now, but the entire Jewish population is jubilant at something that Bill Clinton wouldn't give them, Obama wouldn't give them, the Bushes wouldn't give them, nobody would give it to them. And Donald Trump, you know, one of the burdens that he labors under is, you know, the left has tried to characterize him as a horrible racist, a horrible anti-Semite, a horrible hater, a horrible person, a deplorable, the leader of the deplorables. Well, in this one fell swoop, Donald Trump has, you know, thousands of people. But just take the picture, for instance, some well-to-do, very politically active Jewish activist somewhere who wants to invest. He's got a few million dollars burning a hole in his pocket and he wants to invest it. And if he were convinced that Donald Trump was a horrible anti-Semite that he must dedicate himself to deposing, he would devote that money to you know, deposing Donald Trump. Now he's going to give it to that favorite hospital of his instead. It's a brilliant move by Donald Trump. And I'll tell you another public that was the Jewish public. How about our white public? Did Donald Trump really make a strong impression on the white public with his leadership move? Yes, he did. He convinced tens of millions of white people. Well, Donald Trump's not a hater. He's a nice guy. And he's like me. And that's even the more important public. And he did this on a leadership, again, a brilliant leadership. He didn't wait for somebody like Netanyahu to say, hey, come on, you haven't moved the capital recognition to Jerusalem. You said in the primaries you'd do it. Now you haven't done it. You know, blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't wait to have to respond defensively. He took a leadership stance. He jumped out, surprised everybody, and just proclaimed, yes, a done deal. Now, who did he make angry? Well, the Palestinians, some of them are angry. Maybe all of them are angry. But is that his political base? No. Furthermore, it's a good argument. It takes us off this has been hung up the idea of having a two-state solution. Nobody's been able to square this circle. Okay, Jerusalem, no Jerusalem. The Palestinians intransigent. Nope, nope, nope. Can't be the capital. Nope, that point, we won't yield on that point. It hangs up the whole negotiation. Now, that's off the table. That's done. Now get on to the idea of draw some borders, call one side of the border Palestine, call the other side Israel, and get on with your lives as two separate nations. Anyway, that's my thought, George. Go ahead with yours.
Well, I just think Donald Trump, he told Benjamin Netanyahu, you got to stop the expanding of the settlements in the West Bank, or, you know, you can't be, you know, unprovoked attacks on Syria, attacking Syrian troops, because really, Benjamin Netanyahu, I got to have a lot of serious questions about him. And his,
of course. And the Likud party, of course. Yes.
And the thing is, and even like I talked to Israeli troops, they're tired of having to you know, occupy Palestine because it's a very dangerous place. You know, you got an occupying force in your front porch. You know, abusing, and you know, and the thing is, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu had to give up something,
Okay, well, maybe, but I'll tell you what. This is just another brilliant move. Donald Trump constantly surprises people with the originality of his moves. I think he's the most brilliant of, you know, political genius of our time, you know, of our time. Paul, your thought?
I'm very unhappy about this move. I am generally supportive of what Donald Trump has done, and I know he's done a lot. I can see making this move on the basis that he's fulfilling a campaign promise. The Middle East is symbolism is very important. Jerusalem is sacred to three faiths, to Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. That's one reason why, in trying to manage the unmanageable, one point of view was that Jerusalem should be an open city, should not be the capital for any one faction or cause. And that's been the American policy up until Trump. I think this is a bad move. I understand what the caller is saying, and I hope it's true. I hope, and Trump did make it clear that moving the embassy to Jerusalem was not agreeing with Israel's land claims. It was simply the.
Yes, he made it very clear that East Jerusalem, which is Palestinian, is still Palestinian, and West Jerusalem is Jewish. And that's been a fact on the ground now, and that's not going to change. And recognizing he's really recognizing West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But Paul, the thing that nobody, you know, religious fanaticism does not allow the Jewish temple and the Al-Aqsa Mosque are on the same spot. So yeah. The Muslims are never going to say, well, that's going to be the Jewish temple. No, they'll never allow that. And the Jewish people will never say, well, we're going to have a mosque where our temple is. This is this cannot be reconciled. And so that you can't have a negotiation on that basis. Donald Trump is a tremendous pragmatist. He wants peace. He wants the Palestinians to have their own state. He wants to get the things that are intractable off the table and get onto the practical matter of these people should have a state. Yes, Israel should not occupy it. Donald Trump has been very forceful with Netanyahu and Likud, he has been very strong with them. So I think this is a surprise move that is an act of tremendous leadership. And anyway, so there you have three views on it: George, yours, and mine, and Paul's.
I hope George is right.
I got one more thing. You know, on the wildfires out in Southern California, I just hope this is an opportunity for Trump to win over California, because I really think the leadership in California is so incompetent, and I think a lot of things are going to get bungled up while trying to battle these wildfires, that I really think the federal government's going to have to step in.
I've been involved in actually fighting those fires, or protecting homes anyway, not as a firefighter, but trying to save homes in those fires. I used to live in those hills. I can imagine, just imagine. I actually talked with some family and friends today they let the schools out in Santa Monica because the air was so bad from Ventura that it wasn't healthy for the kids to breathe. And I think they had to play a football game indoors. So George, thank you very much. And I always appreciate it. Let's go to Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, hi, James. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if Washington, D.C. is a swamp that needs to be drained, you know what Jerusalem is? Jerusalem is quicksand, and it likes to swallow people up. The way the Bible puts it, in the last days, Jerusalem shall be a burdensome stone, and all those that trouble themselves with her shall be cut to ribbons.
Dave, I'm interpreting what you said there to mean you're not happy with Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as or to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem.
Well, I don't think we should be troubling ourselves with that burdensome stone, James. But let me ask you, James, put the question to you, because this is what this show represents. Do you think that's beneficial for white European people to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? Is that beneficial to white European people?
Well, I think it's not worth getting excited about. The Pope today said that he did not support the idea. He did not want Jerusalem recognized. The current swamp dweller leaders of Europe oppose recognizing Jerusalem. These people are certainly our enemies in control of these governments in Europe. And the Pope, of course, is acting like a, you know, sort of a communist operative himself, the you know, in defiance of all the wonderful faithful of the church that he's really abandoning with what he's saying and doing. But the you know, Jerusalem is, you have to sort of deal with the reality. It's, you know, kind of getting theoretical and, you know, mystical about the whole thing. The Israel controls Jerusalem. Israel, they're not going to give that up. They're not going to, you know, after the 67 Six-Day War, which, you know, featured such horrors as the sinking of, or the attempt at sinking the USS Liberty on my birthday, June 8th, my 19th birthday, June 8th, 1967. But Israel is not going to, you know, vanish or go away. It's a major power with at least 200 nuclear weapons, people say. And it's not, you know, people that engage in fantasy that somehow, you know, with the most radical Palestinians, that somehow Israel can be driven into the sea. This is nonsense. It's fantasy. Israel will be a secure, stable nation, or they'll die. I mean, they'll die to a man to defend that. So Donald Trump didn't give away anything in simply recognizing that, because the Knesset is in Jerusalem. All the government offices are in Jerusalem. The only thing that's different is that our embassy is sitting in Tel Aviv and our consulate is in Jerusalem. But let me tell you this. For Donald Trump, you know, does Donald Trump want the entire Jewish people worldwide to hate his guts and apply all their resources to defeating him and his effort to make America great again? Is that a good idea? Is that smart politics? I don't think so. On the other hand, he's got, there was one, I mean, all the former prime minister of Israel were praising Donald Trump today. One of them, a woman, compared Donald Trump. She said, "You are the Cyrus of our day." Cyrus was the Persian ruler who let the Jewish people go and let them rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. So he's considered one of the great, you know, non-Jewish heroes of all time. And this, I think, former leader of Israel was saying, "You, Donald Trump, are the Cyrus of our day." Well, this is politically incredibly smart. You know, think in political terms. Where does half of the money contributed in politics to the Democrat and Republican parties come from? You know, I'll bet you know the answer to that question. Half of the money in both parties is donated by ... Jews. Half of the money in politics. Now, shame on us. Shame on us Europeans that we don't match that money. I mean, you know, nobody's stopping us from contributing to our own political cause, but we don't. But half of the money in politics is contributed by less than 2% of the American population, and not because they're so incredibly wealthy that they have thousands of times more wealth than the 98% of the population. Is not. No, they don't. But they do. They are more politically active, and they are more dedicated to what they're doing. So Donald Trump, in one fell swoop, he's got the leaders of Judaism saying, "You are the Cyrus of our age." I think that's politically incredibly smart.
Yeah, but James, if Trump is the Cyrus, why doesn't he send the Jews here in America, all these New York Jews and all these Jews in America, why doesn't he send them back to Jerusalem? That's what Cyrus did. He let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. So if Trump is the modern-day Cyrus, why don't the Jews pack up and go back to Israel and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem?
Okay, that's a question well worth an answer. Okay, I am not a historian of the epoch, but Cyrus, as I understand it, let the Jews go back to their homeland. He didn't make them go back, and he didn't deport them. And what you just advocated, just think about it for a second. You know, with all respect, Dave, imagine that as a political stance. What you just said, because I get it that you're saying, you know, all these people should be put on a boat and sent to Israel, all of them. Well, you know, Dave, that's a fairy tale. That's fantasy thinking that in politics,
no,
if you utter such
James,
an idea.
No, hang on. Excuse me. James, I wasn't saying put them all on a boat. I'm just saying that's an invalid comparison, because all these Jews in America, they don't want to go back. They don't want to go back to Israel, to Jerusalem. But the Jews that were in captivity under Cyrus, they wanted to go back. But
yes,
I'm not
they did.
Saying put them on boats and send them back. I'm just saying it's not a valid comparison that Trump is a figure like Cyrus in it.
Well, I think it is. It is. And who's, is it yours to decide or mine? I'm not the former Jewish prime minister who's waxing lyrical about Donald Trump being a hero to the Jewish people. I'm not, that's not me. It's them. And by the way, this is something that I recommend, part of the Trump phenomenon. I'll describe it right after this break.
Circling skies, tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound mystery.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back, folks, and boy, we've got a bunch of calls lining up here. So, Dave, I appreciate your challenge there, but I think Donald Trump.
Point?
Yes, go ahead.
James, can I make one last point?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Jim's, and then I'll open up to the other callers. But you know that scripture, and in the last days, Jerusalem shall become a burdensome stone, and all those that trouble themselves with her shall be cut to ribbons. I'll give you a perfect example, and I was just listening to them earlier on.
Go ahead, give the example.
The crew of the USS Liberty, they were over there troubling themselves with Jerusalem back there in that six-day war in 1967 on June 8th, and they got cut to ribbons. They got cut to ribbons because they were troubling themselves with Jerusalem, which is a burdensome stone, and it brought that scripture to pass, exactly what it says, that they were cut to ribbons, and Trump better be careful messing around with that burdensome stone.
All right. Appreciate the scripture, Dave. Thank you. And nobody has done more on the radio to support the crew of the USS Liberty than I have, and including having members of the crew on this show and other shows. And that was, in fact, one of the hopes I have is that the Trump administration will, in fact, convene the very first real investigation of the attempt to sink the USS Liberty on that day. But and so we'll talk more about that later. Yes, thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. We got three more guys behind you. Joe in Rhode Island, you're next. Joe, you're on the air. Come in, Joe.
James.
Yes. Hello? Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, James. I followed the president today. I didn't hear exactly word for word what he said, but he did. Say that he wanted to put the make Jerusalem the capital and move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And now my question is, how will this affect the Dome of the Rock? Who is in authority or ownership of the Dome of the Rock at this time?
Joe, I think that when you and I pass from this earth, and we shed our mortal coil, this will still not be solved. What will happen to the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Jewish Temple? I don't think that some kind of an accord, this will be one of those things. It hasn't been solved in my lifetime. Israel was created in 1948. I was created in 1948. And George Orwell wrote 1984 in 1948, and nothing has been resolved. How long is that since 1948? We're getting on to 80 years, a long, long time, and it's no closer to resolution than it ever was. So
such a small piece of real estate is causing commotion all over the world.
Well, it needn't cause commotion.
Must be a special place.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Joe, good comment. We got a break here, and let's see. Oh, my gosh, you're kidding. We've run out of time. Shame on me. Ramsey in Canada left hanging. Glenn in Philadelphia. Well, gentlemen, please take rain checks. We'll come back to you tomorrow night with more good news from the Trump phenomenon. See you then. Thank you, Paul.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.